Myra Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 13 after 8, Joe Cazzardi joins me. Wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of Institute for Sound Public Policy. And Joe, I just want to say welcome back. You have been an illegal immigration or illegal alien analyst for a long time. You were doing this back when it wasn't cool to do so. And
yeah, right. Thank you for remembering that, Bill.
Yeah, and yes, and back when I would see you at those hold their feet to the fire. I'm kind of wondering, do you think FAIR is ever going to do another one of those hold their feet to the fire, or has the fire been held to the feet enough on immigration at this point? You ever wonder that?
Those were great events, I thought. You know, a lot of like-minded people gathering in Washington, D.C., and good radio personas like yourself getting a chance to share ideas and thoughts. And I hope it will resume. I mean, the atmosphere has certainly turned a little bit in our favor, finally.
Yeah, but I can't exactly say that the battle is over now, because...
Oh, God. Oh, heavens.
And the reason being for this is that so much of what has been done has been just the cleaning up of executive orders. But what executive orders clean up, executive orders in the future could also destroy again, right? I mean, that's honestly what we have to look at here,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a very tentative form of government. Although I am hopeful that some of these things that eventually will reach the Supreme Court will be ruled in our favor.
What is it that could be coming up to the Supreme Court you think will be a good thing?
Well, I think birthright citizenship definitely has a chance. You know, that has been really one of the key things that is, that has fueled this surge in illegal immigrant population. And the idea of it is just completely preposterous. You know, you're here on a tourist visa.
Yeah, you come over here when you're 8.5 months pregnant, right? And then during this time, pop the baby, instant American citizen.
Yeah.
And this has been
this has
actually been very big business in China, from what I understand.
Right, in China, and one of the things that could definitely help turn things around would be if these individuals were stopped at the port of entry. You know, in other words, if customs people said, well, "Wait a minute, you know." We have reason to believe that you are pregnant, and we're going to send you back. I mean, just because you have a visa does not give you permission to automatically enter the United States. So tougher controls at these ports of entry, certainly tougher controls over these berth hotels. I have long contended that if ICE or any other enforcement agencies went to these birth citizenship hotels and started demanding to see the paperwork and, you know, would be, for example, to say, okay, you came to the United States with the sole intention of having a baby. We're going to let you have your baby here in custody, and then you and the kid are going to go home. You know, we will deport you with great care and caution and respect, but you're going to be deported nonetheless. So,
do we actually know where these birth hotels are? Are you aware of them?
Well, they're all over Southern California.
Oh, really?
And they are in New York, primarily those two places. Florida also. In other words, for the most part, states where transportation is easily accessible, you know, from China, either directly to New York or Florida or Southern California.
I was reading about Eric Adams. Of course, Eric Adams has himself in a bit of a pickle right now, right? Because now we have Democrats that are actually concerned about the potential crimes that Democrats have committed, right? You know, that's, you know, what this is all about. They all of a sudden found an incredible curiosity about the Democratic mayor crimes being committed because the real issue is that Eric Adams, I think, is cooperating with the Trump administration on working on deportation, which kind of tells you the Democratic Party's point of view is still thoroughly with a thumb, a big fat thumb on the scale of helping illegal immigrants everywhere that we're talking about. Yes. And I think that's why they're talking about even removing him from office. Kathy Hochul was on a press conference earlier this morning.
She's terrible. I mean, it was a real disappointment. And somewhat of a surprise to me that Hochul's race against Lee Zeldin didn't go in his favor. You know, he's a solid guy. He's not a right-wing radical or anything like that. He's Jewish. He's running for office in New York. Mm-hmm. I was surprised, but maybe I shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
But Eric Adams, you know, he was a New York police officer, so he should
have been. I had such hope for Eric Adams early on because he seemed like he was running for mayor then as kind of a common-sense guy. And then he just turned into a hardcore Marxist reading from the same hymnal as all the other Democrats, right? You know, we can't get rid of these people until the Trump administration came calling and said, oh, yes, we should get rid of these people, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was surprising how fast he turned. You know, and I guess that's the way it happens with a lot of these individuals.
It makes you wonder, though, if he was acting all along. In other words, because he seemed to be a common sense guy before. And then in some ways, maybe the sin that he did was that he reverted to really the way he looked at illegal immigration instead of the way the Democratic Party looked at it. Maybe that's it.
And of course, no matter where you were coming from, he looked better than his predecessor, Bill de Blasio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is, though, is that I was reading a piece in the Morning Beacon. I don't know if you read the Free Beacon, but I was looking at this.
Yes.
And they said in the case of Eric Adams today, the Trump Justice Department had at its disposal prudent and imprudent ways to achieve similar ends. They opined that President Trump could have pardoned Adams for his alleged crimes, or instructed prosecutors to drop the case because it was weak. Instead, the Justice Department conceded in a memo that its order to drop the case had nothing to do with the strength of the evidence of the legal theory. So, I don't know, the Trump administration may have inadvertently hung him out to dry on this one. They may not be able to save him this time. Who knows?
Well, and there, the talk about the possible replacement for Eric Adams is really scary. I can't remember the guy's name right now, but he's an extreme radical. Defund the police and all of that business.
I thought they tried that already.
To defund the police?
Oh, yeah. I thought that New York City already tried that. I didn't think it worked out all that well. Really?
No, it didn't work out. But this guy is just another one who would bring that whole issue up and sort of campaign on it. But no, Eric Adams was not a fan of defunding the police. I mean, he had been a policeman, so it's unlikely that he would get behind defund the police.
Joe Gazzardi,
that movement kind of ran out of gas.
Yeah, Joe Gazzardi with me this morning, and he's with Institute for Sound Public Policy, putting the American citizens first in a global economy. I want to talk about your latest piece out here, and I'm going to post this today, about Democrats' roadmap out of their funk, because they're certainly going through hissy fit times, especially when it comes to the immigration issues and such more. I wanted to touch on something, though, for real. The latest BLS reports didn't really say much good for American citizens. I mean, actual native-born American citizens here, did it, when it comes to how...
Another very bad Bureau of Labor Statistics report. Of course, that was kind of a carryover from Biden, too, right? I mean, the January report covered about 3 weeks of Biden. But it's terrible. I mean, the idea, you would think that Democrats, who once were the absolute champion of workers, would be taking a look at this and saying, well, okay, I mean, we're pro-immigration and so forth, but we just can't have American workers being displaced.
Didn't most of the BLS statistics indicate that Native Americans did not get the jobs and that foreign-born people were getting the jobs that were being created?
Yeah. I mean, in a big way. Something like 85% or more of the new jobs went to immigrants. Now, that would be legal and illegal immigrants, but even so, you know, you've got to say, well, okay, What are the reasons behind this? Well, the reasons behind it were 4 years of open borders, paroling illegal immigrants, which gives them work authorization. So the illegal aliens that don't have work authorization are working in, the lower-paying jobs, restaurants.
Does the BLS break that out when they talked about these jobs going to immigrants? Were they all low-paying jobs? You know, the jobs that Americans supposedly don't like to do, according to Democrats?
Yeah, jobs, definitely so. You have to dig a little bit into the statistics.
They do. Okay.
And you've got to go, you want to go to the household survey. There's two surveys. One is referred to in the news as the establishment survey, which is the information that's given to the Bureau of Labor Statistics by the employers. And then there's the household survey that breaks it down by demographics and so forth. That's the one that you want to take a close look at because it's more telling.
I appreciate your analysis on this here, Joe. And I'm going to post your article up there. Final question I would have for you before we take off is there any real push? Because like I've been telling all my other guests that talk about President Trump and his executive orders and everything else, what executive orders created, executive orders can then destroy next time around. And is there any talk about legislation codifying a lot of these changes that need to be done to make America's immigration program actually sensible and benefiting American citizens?
Well, there's a move toward that. What appears to be happening now in D.C. is there's a lot of talk about getting legislation through to cover the budget, to avoid a government shutdown. Mm-hmm. There have been some bills introduced that would take care of a big immigration problem. You know, every year we have this visa lottery, which is, it's completely crazy.
Well, we're told that H-1Bs are for the best and the brightest, and we need the best and the brightest to come in and work for the tech bros, right?
Yeah, and yet,
that's a small amount. The large amount are just immigration lotteries in which they just, pull your name out of a hat and you and the family come, right?
That's the lottery. There was a bill introduced just yesterday that would end that lottery completely because, as you just said, it's ridiculous. You pull 55,000 names out of the hat, literally, people who have applied for the visa lottery. You pick 55,000, and then what happens? Well, they petition their relatives and their extended families and so forth. So the one visa lottery winner ends up accounting for maybe four or five new arrivals that the federal government has nothing to do with. You know, these are new arrivals that have been picked by previous arrivals.
And not for need. This is not being done on the basis of need. This is just a pure lottery. It's absolutely. Like you won the golden ticket. Off you come. Here you go.
Absolutely not. So, if you're interested about population and environmental issues, well, the visa lottery is a disaster. And if you're worried about work, expanding the labor pool, well, it's a disaster in that sense, too, because people who are chosen by the visa lottery have to get along. They've got to find jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of jobs are they going to be looking for? Probably the only ones that they're qualified to do would be on the lower end of the economic scale.
Which then, of course, hurts the lower end of the economic scale of American workers. That's just the bottom line. Right?
Exactly.
All right. Once again, we have Joe Cazzardi. He's an analyst with Institute for Sound Public Policy. Institute for SoundPublicPolicy.org is the website there. Sign up, get the updates, and keep up with the analysis going on there. Joe, we'll have you back, and I always appreciate you coming on. Thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back with you and your audience.
All right. Be well. We'll talk soon. 27 after 8, 770-5633, 770-KMED. We can talk about anything else on your mind here, whether it's the immigration conversation we were having or something else you heard, too. This is the Bill Maher Show.
Life's busy, and you need to be on time, on the road, on schedule, and where you need to be. Power on with trusted, dependable car batteries from Batteries Plus. 700-plus locations nationwide.
With your tax refund on the way, Good Guys Guns has an offer that's just too good to ignore. It's Good Guys Guns Tax Day Refund Layaway Plan. With a Good Guys Layaway Plan, you have 45 days to pay off your favorite firearm, optic, holster, or anything else you want from Good Guys Guns. It's so simple, even Doge would approve. So don't delay. Get to Good Guys Guns and take advantage of Good Guys Guns Tax Day Layaway Plan. Good Guys Guns, your firearm leader at 4934 Crater Lake Avenue, Medford. Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns.
The Best of Southern Oregon magazine is back for its third incredible season. As the region's premier showcase of excellence, this event celebrates the best of the best businesses and organizations as voted by you, our community. Nominations for the Best of Southern Oregon began on March 12th. Join us in honoring the outstanding talent, innovation, and dedication that make our region shine. The Best of Southern Oregon 2025 is proudly presented by Dusty's Transmissions and by Coastal Media.
It's true. Even the rogue gardener faces challenges.
What's a good thing? What isn't a good thing? It can be hard to distinguish. My frustration this year in my gardening was with the birds. That's why I'm talking about birds. All the stuff that they did, starting with the first crop of peas. And I mean, it has just been constant. And yet they did some good things.
Talk about it with Rogue Gardner, Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second-grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super-rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED. And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
And let's grab some of your calls, 770-5633. Gino's been holding patiently. Hey, Gino. You're in Costa Rica right now? Welcome.
Yeah. It's too hot.
Too hot? Okay. Well, it's going to be relatively mild here, but not too hot for sure. What's going on with yourself, huh?
I've been listening to the discussion about birthright citizenship.
Yes.
I have a treatise that was put together. Anyway, it's a compilation of many of the founders' thoughts on birthright citizenship. The founders are all dead against birthright citizenship because they said it harkens back to feudalism. Mm-hmm. Someone born on the land is owned by the land.
He's owned by the landowner, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, no, they're owned by the land, and the king owns the land and everything on it.
Okay, got it.
And the local administrator was the king's man and said what he said. So birthright citizenship was rejected right away at the founding because they said, listen, this is the only place in the world you get to choose to be a citizen, and you do so by understanding the system and then swearing to abide by it and be part of it.
So do you believe that there should be no governmental involvement in citizenship? Or where do you want to go on that, Gino?
Well, I'm just saying the founders were dead against that you were born on the land, you're a citizen.
Okay.
They said you're born on the land, you have made a pledge, you understand the system, and you made a pledge to join it. You can't be part of this club called America without understanding the rules of the club and operating within them.
So it must be done by affirmation then, not by you showed up and here you are.
Conscious effort.
Okay.
It's a conscious effort.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That I guess that also means you are then adhered then to the administrative state's entanglements, right? That's true. That would be the case, right?
Well, if you are born a free human being, then you get to choose your affiliations. If you're born a serf, then you're forced into affiliations. Like, when I went to get my first job in 1964, they told me I had to go get my, quote, working papers.
Uh-huh.
So I went down and I got a slave surveillance number.
So, and just like I now have to go down to the DMV and get my real ID surveillance document, right?
There you go. There you go. But anyway,
I'm still free. I'm still free, though. I'm still free.
Yeah. So, like, I like the way John Lennon said, you think you're so clever and classes and free, but you're still freaking presence as far as I can see.
Hey, when are you coming back, by the way? Are you back?
I don't know. I'm going to go from here to Panama and then over to Puerto Rico, possibly to Tijuana, and then probably back sometime in the spring.
Why would you ever want to go to Tijuana? Last time I went to Tijuana, I had somebody sell me a fake Rolex watch when I was a kid. It like broken like a week.
There's a very high quality dentist down there that can give me for $3,000 what it's going to cost me $30,000 in the States.
Okay, now that is a good reason. Keep me up on that, all right? So you're a medical tourist, okay. In other words, huh?
No. I'm okay, so I don't really want to air my laundry on the radio. So I'm having fun.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're having fun then. It's not all medical. Take care, Gino. We'll catch you when you get, well, wherever you land next. Let me go to Brad next here. Brad, you're saying we need to talk about Rod Blagojevich. And why do I want to talk about Rod Blagojevich, once again, former mayor of Chicago?
Yeah. Well, governor of Illinois.
Or governor, I'm sorry. Now, was he ever mayor or just governor?
I think he was mayor of Chicago, but we're going to play Jeopardy. The answer is Rod Blagojevich, but here's the question. The question is, who is embedded at the center of Democrat politics and knows where all the bodies are buried, especially in Chicago? And
that,
the answer is Rod
Blagojevich. Now, I would agree with that, and given that that Trump pardoned him, do you think that he's going to be forthcoming on how to go after them legally, Pam Bondi's doing?
Well, check this out. So back in 2002, Bill Clinton wins the popular election with 43%. He wins a lower percentage of the electorate than every other candidate that lost because of Ross Perot. But on his first week in office, he does what? He fires every single U.S. attorney in the U.S. attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
And why would he do that? Because in the Bush White House, they were getting ready to bring an indictment against Rod Blagojevich for corruption.
So this is going back to the reason for the firing is not just you want to make sure that people are down with your administration's policy.
Exactly.
What you're saying, though, is that this is kind of like what Dave and other people have been mentioning earlier, is that these are the chess pieces moving for big federal action against these various areas, right?
So Bill Clinton fired every. Of course, we got to remember Bill Clinton and his wife are both what? They're both lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
So he fires every single attorney, replaces them all with his people. But something goes haywire because not too far down the road, they go after Blagojevich for corruption. It winds up being a big scandal. He goes to prison, so on and so forth. And of course, we know that two notable people, their power base is in Chicago. One's Hillary Clinton, and the other one is Obama.
Right.
So now here we are, and we're in 2025, and we remember that many, many, many of Trump's top people used to be what? Used to be Democrats. This is the guy that really knows how to reach and find talent, even if they're flying the other flag, and he recruits them to his cause. So here is a guy more than any other guy. I mean, I challenge you to find somebody who knows where more bodies are buried than Rod Blagojevich, and what does Trump do to him?
Pardons him,
makes him his ally. And again, if anybody knows anything more about Obama or Hillary Clinton than Rod Blagojevich, I challenge you to tell me who it is. And now he's going to be in Trump's camp. How do you think that's going to work out?
I think I'm going to be eating a lot more popcorn as I watch this show. How about that? Thanks, Brad. Good story. We'll be watching that for sure. Redenbacher's, right? Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello.
Good morning, Bill. Bill, Deplorable Patrick here.
Hello, DP.
Yeah, good morning. Is it still okay to talk about the DCA midair collision?
Yes, actually it is. And by the way, do you have a take on the flip over plane in Toronto yesterday? You know, it looks to me like I'm thinking, and I'm not a real expert pilot or anything like that, but I'm thinking that given the serious winds that were blowing, the headwinds at that point, I think it had a last-second stall, maybe needed to be a few miles per hour faster at airspeed, and then it ended up being a short stall, and boom, hard down on the runway, and then breaking the wing off. What do you think?
Yeah, as a viewing from the sidelines, your view is exactly correct. Gusting, I've learned this when I was 18 years old. If you're landing in gusting conditions, let's say you got a, like in these little Cessnas, you're flying slower, but it's the same idea. You're flying along there at just above the stall speed because you're going to land. You're right above the runway, and your headwind suddenly stops. or you get a sudden tailwind, all of a sudden you don't have the airspeed you need and down you come. Maybe it would only be 10 feet, you know, drop it on the runway. But that's what happened with this thing, this jet. You can see it in the tape. He landed hard. It could be because of gusting conditions.
There's about a 30, 35-mile-an-hour gusting wind, headwind at that point, and all it would take is just a little drop in that where it goes away for a second, and all of a sudden you're at that critical flaring out point, and then, boom, you come down hard, you break a landing gear or whatever it is, your right wing digs in, right, because you rock.
Yep.
And, yeah, in fact, don't you have to actually – I forget what the term is, but you're almost like doing a crab motion with the plane, and then you have to straighten it out so you get on the runway. Isn't that what you have to do, like in those kind of sideway winds?
Yes, if you're dealing with a crosswind, you're going to turn the airplane at an angle a little bit, and then you got to straighten it out just before you touch down. Otherwise, it'll jerk sideways and be an excessive load on the landing gear. That's a little bit of they call it landing in a crab, and you have to cross control it at the last second. You have to give like left elevator and right rudder to straighten it out just before you touch down.
But just amazing that, you see that flip over there, and fortunately the wing broke off, and then, he caught on fire, but it was away from the plane. So thank goodness for the passengers. They're okay. That's amazing.
There have been some good analysis on the YouTube. Blanco Lirio had the best one. What actually turned the thing over was once the right wing broke off, probably from hitting a snowbank, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it probably did because the gear broke off, so that right wing drops down.
Yeah, well, the left wing is still flying. It's pushing up, right?
Yep, that's exactly
correct. And then it flips it over.
It's not you don't get any lift on the right because that wing's gone, and you're getting all this lift from the left wing still going over 100 miles an hour. So the wing is still trying to fly. It goes right over the top. It's really, and it could have been the gusting conditions, and it could have been that the pilot didn't flare at the last like he needed to. You can't really tell. The flight data recorder will reveal all.
Yeah, I think that this is going to – I think we'll get a preliminary report out of this one relatively quickly, in my opinion. There's a lot of video on it. That's helpful, I think.
What I wanted to say about
the helicopter crash into the CRJ in DC, right?
Yep. I hope people listen to me.
Okay.
You hear these reports from Jennifer Homendy that NTSB, she's on the TV saying, well, this pilot tried to talk at the same time this one did, and they didn't hear each other.
Yeah.
And on and on, and they go through it with a fine-tooth comb. I hate to say it, but in this case, this is just a distraction. They're looking in the wrong direction. Listen, the regulations say helicopters shall avoid the flow of fixed-wing traffic.
Period.
That's what they say. But did the FAA enforce that? No. Now, they're also saying, well, the helicopter is supposed to fly at 200 feet. The regulations say, except for purposes of takeoff or landing, you won't fly any closer than 500 feet from any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. So if you're flying a Piper Cub or a helicopter along that shoreline with boats and houses at 200 feet, you're buzzing. You lose your license. Did the FAA enforce that? No. And what they're telling us is that this is one of the most important points I'm trying to make. If they did everything exactly right, here's this helicopter flying south at 200 feet. What are they going, 140? Okay, 100 miles an hour. The airplane, the jetliner is flying north at 375 feet. This is a closing speed of about 250 miles an hour.
Wow.
Between the two of them at night. So screw the talk about who said what on the radio or who interrupted who. What's happened here, and they haven't talked about it yet, the FAA didn't enforce the regulations. The FAA didn't exercise oversight. Who's at fault? FAA. That's the point.
All right. Hey, one more thing I would add before you take off here as a pilot here, you being a pilot, having, you know, done this kind of stuff before, and I appreciate your insight on this, is that, you know what does give me some suspicion about the crash in Toronto?
Go ahead.
They haven't named the pilots. And nobody's hurt, or hurt badly at least, right? And they haven't named the pilots. And just kind of like when they have, you know, a diversity crime in the middle of the inner cities, and if they don't talk about race, you know that race is involved. I can't help but wonder if the reason why pilots have not been named is that there may be DEI. I don't like to think that there was DEI involved in cockpit mannerisms here and how we staff things. But the fact that they won't name them is suspicious, don't you think?
Very much so. I have left that out of my conversations, like you have, because you know,
we don't know.
Kind of like.
But on the other hand, you know, you have United that says we're going to hire anybody except experienced pilots. You know, we're going to do anything. You have all the other airliners that are all airline companies that are saying much the same thing. So, you know, DEI, the hangover from DEI, forces us to ask these questions, and it's not because you want them to be true, but. You know, it could be just a horrible landing and a situation with the wind and everything else. But the fact that they won't tell you who was flying is a little suspicious right now. It's usually the clue that you get from the system. Okay?
I think we need to stay on that and be looking for that. And hopefully Trump will look at it.
Yeah, I hope so. Thanks, DP. I appreciate it. All right. Hey, it's a 8:45 here on KMED. Hold the calls here for just a little bit. I got to talk with Randall and find out what's going on and how maintenance in the heating system can actually save your house from burning down. We'll talk about that here in just a minute on Open for Business. Wipe out.